that in the column there, let's tell me see it's done. And then
we have mentioned this morning after the portfolio committee should be a resolution that we should call the decision to appear before the portfolio committee. And the reason that this meeting has been called is to firstly to clarify and to understand the whole question of oversight and accountability. The portfolio committee in its operation is guided firstly by the Constitution of the Republic, Section 55 of the Constitution. That guides how Parliament should receive information from organ of state, individual petitions, and all of that. Now, Parliament, in discharging its responsibilities and its work, it operates through portfolio committees. That is why you'll find that each ministry is linked to a parliamentary portfolio committee. And there will be other committees that are not relevant much to the department, which we call the ad hoc committees of parliament. All of these committees, obviously, are established within the rules of parliament and the constitution of the republic. Because if you will not have committees of parliament with that responsibility, parliament will be non-functional. Now, for the past 13 years, since the establishment of the democratic parliament of the Republic of South Africa, committees were established. And committees have been doing work cut across areas of operation. Committees, for example, of Home Affairs, has been engaging with a number of stakeholders that work directly or some of them privately with Home Affairs. We have engaged not only with Home Affairs entities, but we've engaged cut across areas like your CITAS, GPW, Public Works, and all of that for the past years. Now, what will that do is that the engagement in whatever that the committee does, with whatever entity, individual, and all of that, the committee will then certify itself, compile the report. And that report neither will go to Parliament for adoption or for noting or to bring it to the attention to the National Assembly, the activities of the committee. We have a ministry, which is the Minister of Home Affairs, led by Comrade Joseph William Mapisa Nakulu, the Minister of Home Affairs, who works closely, accounts on the activities to the Portfolio Committee, to Parliament via the Portfolio Committee of Home Affairs. The same applies that the Department of Home Affairs is accountable to Parliament, meaning that all the entities that the Department of Home Affairs involves in, your Freeman publication, your GPW, Director General, the individuals that are employed by the Department of Home Affairs are accountable to Parliament. Having stated these powers that the portfolio committee operates within, our responsibility of oversight and accountability deal exactly with what we call calling the department, monitoring it based on its program, based on the allocation that the portfolio committee has. Now, it has been the practice of this portfolio committee that they will visit provinces, will visit, as our understanding, based on the structure of Home Affairs. That Home Affairs, being the national competency, which does not have MECs in provinces, we visit these provinces. It was the demarcation of Home Affairs. They have what they call provincial, we call them provincial managers. I understand now that they've given titles more than what we used to call them. We'll visit the province like Mpumalanga, we'll meet with province the time Mpumalanga, we'll meet with the committee, give the briefing to the committee about the state of that particular school operation where you went. The same applies, you'll go to Gauteng, we'll visit Gauteng, we'll visit all offices of Home Affairs. It's time to meet, and we'll interact and work with the provincial manager by the name of Mr. Lema. We'll meet with the committee, provide all the necessary information that the committee will require. Same applies with the Western Cape. When there was a crisis, not when there was a crisis, I'll put it directly, the problem at the harbor, the first person that we interacted with was the provincial manager who was responsible for making sure that the services are provided in all the offices that are under control. Not only services, but making sure that the staff is recruited, because those provincial managers have certain powers given to them. And we've been calling for devolution of powers as a portfolio committee to give them more powers to be able to deal with the coordination and operation at the provincial level. If you look at the strategic plan of 2006-2007, it talks of devolution of powers to provinces. And that on itself tells you that you not devolve powers when there's not enough person for the police to make sure that they're carrying out those mandates. Now, for the past 4 years, in its operation, in its oversight work of Parliament, the Portfolio Committee of Home Affairs has been working with this provincial manager. At some point, at national level, there was not even a single full-time CDG. We relied very much, in fact, on getting information from provincial managers who will come, most of them frustrated sometimes with sort of achievement that they do about head office. And then we'll pick up all the issues that they've raised with us. As part of the oversight is exactly as having to go to a particular province and pick up the information. Like we did yesterday, last week, when the portfolio committee decided that in the absence of provincial managers, let's do oversight. The portfolio committee went out, went to an office not very far from this parliament, at the Winebeck office. At Winebeck office, we find that there are problems. Queues, filing of ID books, systems not working. When Barrack Street here, we did the very same thing. Visited the office here, found that at the ground floor, where services must be delivered to the citizens, out of the 7 computers, only 2 computers are working. Supervisors were not even in the ground floor where they're supposed to supervise the staff that is on the ground floor. They were somewhere on the 2nd or 3rd floor. We had to call them. Documents were lying on the floor. Old temporary ID books were scattered all over the floors with particulars of individuals and their photos and all of that. That same applies to the harbor office. It's exactly what we find at the harbor office. And clearly, the people who are responsible will be the managers of that office. You will definitely not expect that the head office will be knowing why files are not put on the files why files are lying on the floor, why documents are scattered all over, why a computer is not working, why a telephone rings almost an hour before it's answered. We believe that we have managers in the office. And these managers are responsible for making sure that they this management. So that members of the public that we represent, when they go to this office, they'll get the services that they want. Same applies with the immigration. If you look at the conditions that you see the harbor and the other refugee centers in the country, they are appalling. We are not even meeting the international laws and standards of dealing with asylum seekers and refugees. That on itself is something that all of us are aware, and we're trying to give support to the Department of Home Affairs throughout, out of all the challenges that they have identified. At no point that we have condemned, we always try and give the hand of support to the Department of Home Affairs. Now, in this program, the Portfolio Committee resolved that we will invite the provincial managers to engage with them around the state of province where they're deployed. The normal practice that the Portfolio Committee has done was to write a letter, not invite them directly, but to write a letter to the Director General on the 15th of February to request him to facilitate the invitation of the provincial managers that they have identified. We put aside 2 days that we want to engage, and we stated the issues that we want to engage on as part of our oversight and accountability. Information was sent to the Director General's office. We received a response on the 18th that that request of ours would not be met. So the DG believes that there is the accounting officer, and therefore everything to do with provinces should lie with him. Any question that one would have to ask the Director General or the Director General or Deputy Director in Service Delivery, to whom the provincial managers report to, and two selected provincial managers to occupy the watch for them, to come with the watch for with the Director General and the two selected provincial managers. We immediately, on the 20th, wrote back a letter raising directly the concern that the committee would, in fact, has noted what the letter of the DG in its meeting of the 19th. The committee took a resolution that the provincial managers of the Department of Home Affairs should be appear before the Portfolio Committee on the 26th and 27th. We sort of insisted that this meeting must take place, having explained the reasons why we have this kind of a meeting. And we listed the provincial managers that we want them to appear before the Portfolio Committee. And we stated what we expect from them. Much was around the state of the provinces, distribution of ID books in the provinces, and the number of working with refugee centers, with those refugee centers directly impact on the responsibilities, the issue of the ID campaign, the state of offices, and all of that. And the committee will appreciate that the provincial manager sends their reports and presentation to the secretary of the committee. We say that the names of the people, the person that the watch call should watch for, the provincial manager should communicate with. On the 21st, the DG responded, having acknowledged our letter that we wrote to him. It is with great regret that I must advise you of my inability to occupy to comply with this request. The letter is explicit of your intention to exclude me and the senior managers in this exercise of dubious value to quote you. The committee does not want the Director General or the Deputy Director General for Civil to present on behalf of the provincial manager. So I think members have gone through the letters that they DG responded on. We acknowledge again because all these things were happening, having to postpone a number of meetings. Like the last meeting again, we had to postpone it because we expect us to be doing something else. And that request, when that response comes, the whole committee has to change the program again. We end up having to decide in the portfolio committee what must we do. We have extra 4 hours. What we do, we decided to go out through the normal oversight that we do as a portfolio committee. You pick up the very same problems. These problems are problems that we believe very strongly that are problems that you cannot go to oversight and that why supervisors, head office, why supervisors are not where they're supposed to be. When we have managers of offices, managers of provinces. And members in their day-to-day operations in their different constituencies, they interact with offices, they interact with the people who are in those offices and all of that. So clearly that the meeting could not take place again. And then on the, after we insisted again, that we have to have this meeting, on the letter is not dated, but it acknowledged to have received the letter of the committee of the 22nd of February. In response, I would like to advise that my position remain as stated in my letter dated 22nd. Tell the DG is telling the portfolio committee that I will not bring provincial managers to Parliament as Parliament requests them. Well, the portfolio committee then wrote in a letter that we now invite the Director General to appear before the portfolio committee to explain himself to the understanding of the work of the portfolio committee having to do its oversight work. And again, to explain the manner in which he responds to the portfolio committee. In particular, on the letter that insinuate that the portfolio committee is organizing dubious meetings of no value, whatever, that okay, would want to get an explanation as to why is it that when the portfolio committee wants to do its work, having explained and paying why we have to engage with the people at this level, the Director General tells the portfolio committee that never comply with that request of the committee. It's on those basis that we have this meeting this morning. Having explained the roles and the powers of the portfolio committee to do oversight, we know and we understand very well the challenges that the Department of Home Affairs is faced with. And the fact that we know, we believe that there's a contribution on our side to make. We cannot run a portfolio committee that is not having commission. And the issue comes in that the request for a workshop that the Director General says that previously the minister in himself has been asking for a portfolio committee workshop and all of that. To state it very, very clear is that oversight is oversight. Workshop, not workshop, but oversight needs to be done. And we cannot do oversight on workshop. The workshop we have planned it long time ago, from last year. We've been saying that we're going to have a portfolio committee workshop to look at a number of things. Now, the impression is given that this portfolio committee has been asked many times to organize a workshop, not even a letter that ever came to the portfolio committee that says, we hereby request you to organize a workshop so that we can workshop you on the oversight or the state of the Home Office. But we took it upon ourselves as a portfolio committee to say that it was important that we look at our program. In looking at our program in a workshop manner, we invited us, the department, to come and take us through a number of issues that we have identified. On the issue of the turnaround, last year, if you had to look at the records of the portfolio committee, we resolved that we are going to call the Department of Home Affairs to appear before the committee to take us through stream per stream on turnaround. Not say we'll organize a workshop to do that. Separate. We said we'll want to have the Department of Home Affairs to take us through this turnaround stream per stream, because there are about 7 streams identified. Now, this morning, we have invited the Director General, as I said, that this non-compliance with the request of the portfolio committee. On top of that, we then said that after this meeting, we'll have 2 meetings. We'll deal with this meeting and close it. Having dealt with the role and his understanding and our understanding of oversight. Then we'll put about an hour aside. When we finish, we'll then have the meeting with provincial managers. We still insist that the meeting with provincial managers must take place. So that's the position of the portfolio committee. And this is how we understand how we do oversight. And people must account. Now, again, is that provincial, we now invited them as individuals. And then clearly that there's no compliance again on that request of the committee. So what I'll then do, members, is that before I give members an opportunity to speak, maybe what we should do will be to give the Director General to explain himself before the committee with regard to this invitation. And then therefore we'll then open up the meeting and engage together with our Director General, that the committee has gone all out in public, in meetings, as individuals, that will give support to the Department of Home Affairs, will give support to individuals as a Director General in helping him turn around the Department of Home Affairs. But as Parliament, we have a responsibility. And our responsibility to our friends in the country. And when we call upon people to account for Parliament, people must account. Only if this Parliament would not have the power given to it by the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, would definitely delegate this power to someone. But currently we are given this power. So I thought that it's important to clarify it. Constitutionality, the rules of Parliament, and the operations of the Portfolio Committee on accountability. So people must account. And when they account based on what the committee wants. So, DG, let me then afford you this opportunity to then explain yourself on the issues that I have just alluded to and the response which
Thank you very much, Chair, and I greet also members of the committee, the media, I think they are here, and my own colleagues. I want to set out the premise first. All the things that the Chair has just said are fully understood by us, and we support them. In the interest of good governance, we are eager to establish a good working relationship with the Portfolio Committee. We're concerned that at times the attitude and actions of the portfolio committee have the potential to harm this relationship. And in fact, in some instances, they are doing that. On occasion, we have raised our concerns in various fora through correspondence and in discussions, virtually to no avail. We are committed to complying with with legitimate requests for the committee in the execution of its parliamentary oversight role and responsibilities. Not only do we accept this, but we fully support it. There is a context. I hope the chair allows me to digress a bit, because there is a background to the issue that we're talking about. We have had concerns, and I ask you to allow me very respectfully to make certain observations. They will be frank, which I think some people don't like, but I will couch them in with respect, and I'll substantiate some of the things that I'm saying, all of them, if I need to. I think the manner in which the portfolio committee conducts its business sometimes results in a considerable waste of resources and time. Last year, the portfolio committee continuously changed the meeting schedules, often at short notice. For example, the committee changed its program for the first quarter of 2007 four times. In addition, dates and agendas for meetings are often changed, or meetings are cancelled at short notice. For example, the committee cancelled the meeting for 25th September 2007. On the 21st of September 2007, the last working day before the meeting. This was after we made many representations requesting the chairperson not to schedule the meeting for that day. This practice does negatively affect the work programs of the department. We put in quite a bit of time and effort into preparing for these meetings, and this is wasted if the meeting schedules are arbitrarily changed. Today, the department has not received the committee's meeting schedule for 2008. We don't have it. Needless to say, this impacts negatively on our ability to respond proactively to the request of the committee. It's worth noting in this regard that last year, the minister took the matter of the difficulties that the department was experiencing with the portfolio committee to the leader of government and to the parliamentary chief whip. At this meeting, which was also attended by the chairperson of the portfolio committee, it was agreed that the meeting schedules should be developed consultatively to avoid clashes. It should be recognized that there are many other commitments that the minister and the department have to honor besides appearing before the portfolio committee. Without going into the details of what was clearly a very disturbing episode, the minister was falsely accused in front of the media of being disrespectful to the portfolio committee by not turning up at some of its meetings, including one where she had been excused in writing by the chairperson's office. On that fateful occasion, we were sent away, all five of us, without making our presentation. On 5th June 2007, the department was due to appear before the committee for a further briefing on the 2005-2006 annual report. The Select Committee on Social Services invited the department to a meeting on the same day for a briefing on its 2007-2010 strategic plan. The department arranged to meet the committees, both committees. It became hugely embarrassing for the department delegation when it had to cut short its interaction with the select committee so that it could proceed to the portfolio committee meeting. On arrival at the meeting, the chairperson informed the department delegation that it was lunchtime and that the delegation should return after lunch. This session continued after lunch. The process of adopting the department's annual report lasted 5 minutes, with no input required from the department. Surely, the committee could have dealt with the adoption of an administrative procedure without calling the department to the meeting, since all the necessary presentations had already been made previously. On the 3rd of August 2007, the committee conducted an oversight visit to the department in Pretoria. A day program was arranged and approved by the committee prior to the visit. The program involved a presentation by the turnaround consultants, as well as visits to identified sections at head office, Waterloo and new corporation building. The department and the consultants were ready at 8:30 as per the program. However, the committee arrived about 3 hours late because they had chosen to conduct an unannounced visit to the Pretoria Regional Office. Chairperson informed the meeting that he did not want the department to know about the visit because that would have removed the element of surprise. Because of the late start, the department was obliged to pay the consultants anyway, let alone the opportunity cost for the Home Affairs staff. Citing time constraints, the Portfolio Committee delegation subsequently cancelled off-site visits to pre-arranged sites at Waterloo and the new corporation building. During the department's briefing to the Portfolio Committee in May 2007, there was agreement that the department would provide a full report on various matters raised, in particular, on progress with the development of the strategic plan and the turnaround program. This was to be done within a period of 5 months. The department planned accordingly and committed itself to fulfill this commitment. However, during the committee's oversight visit on 3rd August 2007, the reporting date was changed to 3 months, not five, and the date of August, 21st August, was unilaterally assigned by the Portfolio Committee. The department notified the committee that it would be hard to do this as the turnaround program, to which the further development of the strategic plan was closely linked, was still in the process of consolidation. Ignoring this request, the Portfolio Committee insisted on a briefing in September 2007. The department worked hard to meet the September 2007 deadline. Typically, the date was later changed to October 2007, again unilaterally. After all the preparations had been made, once more leading to a disruption of programs and a waste of resources. On the 29th of January 2008, the Portfolio Committee suspended the briefing session on the department's 2006-2007 annual report because the committee was not happy with the presentation that the DG made. The DG argued in vain that since committee members were already in possession of the annual report and had had the opportunity of familiarizing themselves with the contents, members could perhaps ask questions on it. It would not have been different from the process that was to be followed by SCOPA on 20th February. However, the committee felt strongly enough about the format of the presentation to cancel the meeting. I never cease to marvel at how easy it is to cancel these meetings, which cost so much to attend. I listened in disbelief as the chairperson stated at the meeting of the 12th of February 2008 that the committee postponed the meeting at the request of the department. Your own records, which I'm sure are faithfully kept, and the members' own memories would tell a different story. In June 2007, MAN Celestial and difficult German name, Bundesbrücke, invited the Portfolio Committee on Home Affairs to visit Germany. When we got this, we got a little worried. Clearly the visit had the potential to compromise the integrity of the department's supply chain management rules and procedures. I fear that this company, which is associated with smart card production, might have to be barred from any future participation in Home Affairs procurement procedure, more so after we learned that they had offered to pay the ground costs, that is overland costs, transports, hotels, I don't know what happened eventually, of the Portfolio Committee members who were invited. With all due respect, we could not understand what business Portfolio Committee had discussing smart cards with potential feeders. We then learned that the Portfolio Committee had decided to conduct a study tour of the DRC from 24th to 30th September last year. One would have expected that the department would have been apprised of this and asked to brief the committee on the nature and scope of its program in the DRC. A panic-stricken employee called us from Kinshasa to ask if we were aware of the visit and how she should handle some of the sensitive bilateral issues. The Portfolio Committee often insists on discussing operational matters that are still under review. This has the potential to compromise the department's negotiations. A case in point is the suspension of senior officials was very worried when I was scribbled, when I saw a scribbled note in this very chamber, in which a member of the portfolio committee stated that the department had absolutely no chance of winning its case against one of the suspended employees. As late as yesterday, our legal representatives were telling us that one of the employees against whom we've leveled corruption charges was openly boasting in a discussion with his own attorney that he knew the department, what the department was saying in Parliament about them. However, he was openly flashing a document. He was openly flashing a document carrying a parliamentary overhead, that letterhead. They were obviously trying to intimidate us by letting us know that they are well connected in Parliament. We would really appreciate it if the committee were to allow the department time to complete its internal processes on some of these matters before forming judgments, such as that we will never win any case. There are several instances where the chairperson of the portfolio committee openly interacts with individual managers within the department or entities doing business with home affairs, totally oblivious of established procedures and etiquette. I think here the chair was stating in a foreword to my making the comment here that the committee has a right to interview whomever they want. I don't think that anybody ever disputes that. But I think we should accept that there are procedures which are established that would normally be followed in order to obtain the information that people want. We've had a situation where a low-ranking official of the mobile unit service provider was asked to a meeting to discuss the mobile unit's contract. No one in the department was informed, except for the matter appearing on the committee's revised program for the third term of 2007. With the case of the portfolio committee writing to the regional manager in George to inform her of an oversight visit, neither the minister nor the department were informed. This happened on the 16th of August last year. Portfolio committee chair calls the Western Cape acting provincial manager and the office manager of the Cape Town Refugee Center to a meeting on the 23rd of October 2007, only copies the minister and the DG on the 22nd, the day before. The power has never been disputed. The method is one that alarmed us a bit. Whatever power and authority an institution may have, there are procedures we should all accept and rules of etiquette that are normally followed when conducting business. Now, the briefing on the provincial managers. Thank you for indulging me to give a background to some of the difficulties that we do have here. At a Minexco minister and executive committee meeting of 16th November 2008, the following was stated, quote, "The minister's discomfort with the way that the chairperson of the portfolio committee managed the meeting of 13th November resulted in spending time on trivialities instead of substantial issues, particularly around the transformation process. In addition, the media chose to focus on the sensational part of the meeting and not on the issues that matter vis-a-vis the turnaround process." I close quote. That same Minexco meeting also adopted the following resolution. I quote, "That the committee
it's an open meeting, so I think we need to take into account that whatever that we say from public is recorded.
The resolution of that Minister XX executive committee meeting was that the committee should be reminded to follow due protocol when inviting the department to sessions. Junior officials should, under no circumstances, be allowed to appear before the committee. That is because of the experiences that we've had, but we'll debate that as we go forward. My stance on this matter is informed essentially by the principle that it isn't proper to undermine established and legitimate authority. In this case, the Director General is the authority that is accountable for the performance of the Department of Home Affairs. Its remit, that is the Home Affairs Department, DG's remit, extends to the whole of the Republic. If even for one moment we were to accept that provincial managers have primary responsibility for reporting on matters affecting their respective provinces, the question would need to be asked as to what I and other senior managers are responsible for. Compiling the annual report, producing strategic plans, trying to get turnarounds that are really of peripheral interest. I personally believe that it would not be in the best interest of the department and indeed of the Portfolio Committee, assuming we both have the same interest, for the Portfolio Committee to invite persons who, by virtue of their responsibilities, they've been given, could not possibly be in a position to provide most of the information that the committee indicated they wanted to have. Unless, of course, the provincial managers first ask us at head office. The centralized nature of the organization of information is such that matters like online birth registrations, state of the refugee reception centers, number of birth certificates issued, number of identity documents issued, number of identity documents on the shelves, and office security, including computers, can best be obtained from a central point, which is a head office. We ask ourselves why the Portfolio Committee is reluctant to follow the route of asking us at head office if this is the bulk of the things they would like to hear from provincial ministers. I was raised to respect authority, but to ask questions. I was also brought up in a democratic culture in which intolerance is an alien concept. The leaders of the ANC that I followed taught me that it was right, no, in fact obligatory, that I should at all times take what I believe to be principled positions. They told me that adopting such positions entailed big risks at times. We appear to be in that moment now. 46 years ago, I was willing to pay the supreme sacrifice in defense of my beliefs. Today, I stand ready to meet whatever challenges come my way. What is wrong in principle, I think, cannot be right in practice. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much, CJ. There are a number of areas that CJ has raised. I don't know if we start with the question first or we respond to the issues that the CJ has raised. Let me deal with the. Do you have any question, anything that you want to ask based on the website before we get to this? The issue I want to deal with, Jim, is the last point that you raised. That the management committee, which is attended by yourself, I think, and ministers, decided that. Provincial managers should not come to the Portfolio Committee. Now, meaning that whatever that we want to call for will not happen because this management committee decided that these managers will not appear before the Portfolio Committee. I'm not sure that have you looked at the
responsibility of this oversight to work that responsible commitment. Because if we're to agree that to do oversight require us to interact with these people that we have been engaging with and will engage with and will keep on engaging with as long as they exist, the format in which we engage with them is determined by the committee. If we tell the committees of parliament, this is how you should do your oversight work, what does it mean? Because the committee decided in its meeting of the 19th, if you look at the program of the committee that started on the 22nd of January to the 26th of February, all those days were met. We agree with the portfolio committee that the program of the committee for the third term, second term, will be dealt with on the date of the 11th and the 13th. The committee does have a program. And all the dates that we have set ourselves to meet, the annual report, and other dates that we have put here, and extra work that we do, because we don't have to ask permission to go and visit an office of Home Affairs in Barrack Street. We don't have to write to the Director General that the committee decided to visit the office. Then what is oversight? Announce or not announce? The committee has that responsibility. Nothing stops the committee to do this work. But I think as we engage further, we'll be able to do that. While members are still trying to put together whatever questions that maybe they may want to ask, I just want to deal with the number of issues that you have raised. One of them that I've dealt with is the program of the committee. Meeting that you raised that the portfolio committee sent the department back again because the committee was not prepared to deal with the annual report, I think it's just distortion of information. Because clearly, on that day, the committee had to advise, in fact, give a guide to the director general how to prepare an annual report, how to present an annual report. Yourself even asked that you go back and prepare, because the document that you prepared was not talking about the annual report. You're talking about the current issues. And we wanted a report of the portfolio, of the department, on the annual report. Annual report is what the committee, the department said they will do per year based on their strategic plan. We allocate the resources of that, what you call. Can you take a seat, ma'am? Can you take a seat?
I have a back problem.
Then the annual report and its presentation, you don't deal with current issues that this is what we're going to do, going to be doing, new IEPs. You deal with what the department said is going to do. That's why you pass the annual report based on the strategic plan. And clearly the department was not prepared. And there's no point that the department what called the portfolio committee that the department they must go back and prepare again. And we have never said that. You yourself requested that because it's clear that you are not meeting what we expect you to do. You even took the document that we have done our own research on the annual report to use it as a guide to help you to develop a presentation on the annual report. And the impression has been given that the portfolio committee turned away the department again, consistently, deliberately trying to put this portfolio committee, this is a portfolio committee that does not respect the department. We don't want when the committee says what we expect on the annual report, these are things that we want. The beginning of the year, when you do your budget, you come with a strategic plan and say, these are things we're going to do for the year. End of the year, you come and report on the issues that you have said you're going to do, not the current issues that you're doing, on the issues that you said you'll do on that financial year. Now, the impression again is that this portfolio committee, well, the minister raised this thing in the portfolio committee. And we clarified that thing. But it's not the portfolio committee that said it's not members go back. Now, other issues, I may not want to deal with the rest of the issues. Because the rest of the issues as you raise them, the DRC, the Germany, all those issues are issues that the committee decides. If we want to go to Germany, wherever that invites us, the portfolio committee will go. We don't have to ask permission to anybody. we don't have to ask permission that can we want to go to Germany unless we call him to say, brief us on the following issues. The request goes via the office of the chief. It goes to the Speaker of Parliament that the portfolio committee is planning to administer. Here is the letter of invitation. We explain ourselves why we have to go there. If we want to go and see how passports are made, if the people who are making passports better than what we are doing here, we have the right to do that. We don't have to ask permission to anybody. We don't have to ask permission to anybody. If we say we want to go to the DRC Congo, we went to Namibia, went to Zimbabwe, went to Mozambique, and we're still left. We inject the plan of the committee to all the other countries. The reason that we're doing this trip is to understand how the free movement of persons and goods is going to be arranged and what are these governments that we. It's part of the committee program. We don't have to ask permission. What we'll do, maybe we'll be able to call you to ask you what is it that we're doing around the issues that we're dealing with. We know for a fact that the issue of the movement, a free movement of persons and goods, is only last year in the late workshop that was arranged by the Department of Home Affairs that I was invited to attend that workshop. There was nothing that has been done. The committee does not have to ask permission to anybody to go to Germany or to go to DRC Congo. We don't ask permission. Either if we want to call you, we'll call you and say, please brief us on the following. Now, issue of the mobile units that you raised, that we discussed the contract of the mobile units. I'm not sure how you are able to distort this information so much, unless if you don't understand what's happening. The portfolio committee in its oversight work visited a number of provinces. And when we visited these provinces, we found that most of the mobile units are broken down. They are non-functional. And it's a project that all of us supported, even when the minister launched those mobile units, were part of that one recently. We then said, but how does it happen that we have a service provider who's supposed to be making sure that these mobile units are up and running, and the person has been paid millions and millions of rand, and that money that is being paid is passed by this portfolio committee, and nothing stops the portfolio committee. We have engaged the minister of this issue to a point that we said we in fact invite the service provider to appear before the portfolio committee. There's nothing wrong with that. We have a right to call the service provider. There's nothing that says we are limited to do your oversight work. It's the money that we pass. We're still going to call a number of people that we're still going to call again. Now, the issue is that on the changing of meetings and all of that, we dealt with that only one meeting that was cancelled. And there were reasons. The issue of the November meeting, how it was handled, I don't know how you expected us to behave, because I'm not sure that you'll be able to have you to tell us that this is how the portfolio committee should behave. When people leave the meeting and go and discuss how we behave, it's their own choice. We do oversight and we're very strict about raising the issue. And this is what I said to the closing of the SCOPA meeting, that the manner in which you are questioned by SCOPA is different from how we engage with you. Very critical, straight to the point, and you know, I even said it is a learning curve, because when we do that ourselves, the issue is personalized. Is this person who's out of order? Is this person who does not respect whatever that you know other people are doing and all of that? But the issue is that we have to do oversight ourselves. If people could have listened to us for all these years that the portfolio committee is making resolution after resolution about the problems of Home Affairs, would not have been here. Would not have been having a Home Affairs and the state in which it has to stay. Look at all the resolutions that the committee has passed. And look at what is it that we are currently trying to address. What we are trying to address is exactly the issues that we have raised. Shortage of staff. We even called FIDA. Why do we still see all of it? We invited FIDA and the Director General of Home Affairs to come together to resolve the problems of IT and Home Affairs, which you are fully aware of. The problems of Home Affairs to you are not new, because FIDA has been very much involved, because we have been calling for this entity called FIDA to say, your responsibility is to support and give support to the Department of Home Affairs on IT. And what happened to the IT system? All of them collapsed. The minister confirmed that the system does not even talk to each other. And how long we've been raising the issue of systems not talking to each other. That's not new. That all these refugee centers If you go to the British Center in Cape Town, you are declined here. You go to the Eastern Cape, you still find that in the Equatorial MP, they will not even pick up that this person has been to the Cape Town office. Where's the reason? These things are not new to us. They are not new. And I would believe very strongly that on the issues of accountability, I want to deal with that last point that says management, whatever management system decides that these managers will not go to the portfolio committee. I want to say it is wrong. I may be this guy's chairperson of this portfolio committee, but I just want to make you aware that that is wrong. It's a wrong decision. It's a wrong decision. If people can sit at the senior level and decide that these people must not appear before Parliament, will summon them. Will summon them to appear. And we'll see that divide. Because my problem is that having understand this problem so far, allow us our space to do this oversight that we must do. You go to the harbour, it's wrong. We're very wrong, in fact, to have done an unannounced visit at the harbour. We're very wrong. We're not supposed to go there. We're supposed to ask permission, communicate with you first that we want to go to the harbour. Can you allow us to go there? My understanding of oversight is different. The oversight that we must do, yes, at some point we must communicate. At some point we decided the committee and said we are going to visit this office without telling you that we are going there. It's our way. And nothing must stop us to say that because we did not inform you, therefore nothing must happen. The issue of the harbour, when we found a person locked there for 3 hours, when none of the managers that you manage did not even know that there's a person locked in that cage for 3 hours, when refugees and asylum seekers were running the office, it's us, this portfolio committee, that they made you aware. When the provincial manager left for 2 weeks without servicing the province, it's this chairperson that calls you to say, the provincial manager has left, are you aware? And you're not aware, and you acknowledge that. Now, my problem is that what is saying is that we have to do this oversight. And the oversight that we have to do is a painful oversight. It's a painful oversight. All of us belong to the ANC. All of us were schooled and taught by the ANC. The very same discipline, the ANC taught us the very same discipline. But when it comes to the work that we must do, all of us are deployed in different fields. I may be very junior at the ANC as a member of Parliament, very, very junior. I may be very senior, but the fact is that you are accountable to Parliament, and I happen to be chairing this portfolio committee. Now, unless there's something wrong, unless there's something wrong with this portfolio committee, in our engagement with yourself and this portfolio committee, at no point that we have figured out a situation that there will be this kind of attention. We have been critical, not now, but as former minister, Mr. Kennedy will tell you how critical this portfolio committee has been. It's because we understand the issues and how you understand them. Now, all of these other issues, which I'm not going definitely to engage, I've tried to respond at all the issues that you have raised. But my only worry is the decision taken that these people will not appear before the portfolio committee, as the portfolio committee requests them. I think that's the issue that we'll have to do. Let me give calls here and then I'll give other members. And then
thank you, Chairperson. First of all, let me start by requesting the DG whether the presentation, the document you are selecting, is it possible for us to write it, to copy.
These are just my speaking notes.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson. Maybe you and your minister did not tell us properly whether the DG was appointed as administrator or as a politician. Because the statement which says the minister and himself took a decision on our behalf and on behalf of Parliament, Chairperson, it says the Director General is not the administrator, is politician. Now, according to my own analysis, Chairperson, the Director General is practicing politics at the wrong platform. Because we can challenge any person who wants to usurp our powers. As Member of Parliament and Member of Portfolio Committee, we've got powers vested on us by the Constitution and Parliament. And there are procedures which must be followed without making any favor to anybody. Chairperson, coming to the question of requesting the DG to facilitate. Under normal circumstances, Chairperson, it was very good. But our procedure does not allow you to request anybody to facilitate portfolio committee meetings. We've got the power to write to anybody whom we want to account. And also, the question of compliance, Chairperson. Maybe the Director General, because he's practicing politics, is not aware under the devolution of powers that those municipal managers are accountable to us. And
the provincial managers.
They're the same, Chairperson.
Oh, okay.
Okay, good. Under devolution of power, Chairperson, the power to appoint from level 1 to level 8. And again, Chairperson, when with regard to Resolution 33 of 2005 under immigration, they are the ones who are controlling those provinces, not the DG. And the Chairperson, the question of saying you have, under your letter, you have transmitted something to the minister. But I was impressed when the DG says himself and the manager and the other ministers at cabinet level, they took the decision to defy Parliament and this portfolio committee. Because I was surprised after you requested the minister to intervene, we never received any correspondence. That shows that the DG is not the one responsible for the defiance. The minister and the DG and the cabinet, they are the ones chairperson who say this portfolio committee must be defied. What we should do, Chairperson, we should follow the procedure. We are accountable to Parliament. We must report to Parliament. This is Department of Home Affairs under the leadership of the DG, who is politically motivated. They are prepared together with cabinet ministers, so that those cabinet ministers must come to Parliament, Chairperson. There must be a debate where all the parties must be there. That despite the fact that Home Affairs is always getting disclaimer year in and year out, here are the concerns. If you can check, Chairperson, the DG raised the question of saying those suspended DPD director and the CFO, they were boasting to say they are communicating with somebody. If, Chairperson, we can request the Auditor General to go and check tenders issued after those officials have been suspended, something is fishing, Chairperson. They suspend somebody so that something must happen. I am also suspect, Chairperson. That's why I am requesting that you write a letter to the Speaker so that we can go and debate this issue in the Chamber, Chairperson. Another concern, Chairperson, with regard to wasteful resources, Chairperson. Is the department who is wasting the resources, or not portfolio committee? Under the Auditor General's report, Chairperson, I quote, indication that 8,547,000 of the total penalties have been outstanding for more than 3 years. Those are the wasteful expenditure. Not to come to portfolio committee without following the rightful procedure when we talk about the audit report. In terms of parliamentary procedure and PFMA, if you are going to talk about Auditor General's report, you must first be informed by your estimates, your strategic plan. Your response must be informed by those guidelines. You cannot just come to portfolio committee and say, ask me a question. That is not parliamentary procedure. And also, Chairperson, I just want to raise the question of legal service from this department, Chairperson. The legal service of this department, Chairperson, they are not operating properly. They should advise the minister to say, the minister and the DG to say, you are pressing the wrong button. For example, Chairperson, you remember the question of Mafilika. They put the advert. When they appoint, they just pick somebody from the street without qualification. And they also appoint a senior counsel to arbitrate. After the arbitration, the very same department defy that senior counsel. They say, no, we're making a plea. How can you make a appeal for something which is totally against your own advert? When you advertise a post, you say, people with such qualification must apply. You don't mention that you are going to pick somebody on the street and put him on the department to run the department without qualification. For up to so far, Chairperson, I rest my case for my other colleagues.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I don't think we owe an apology to the DG or to the department for making an unannounced visit to the offices of the Department of Home Affairs. We are doing our oversight duty. And I don't think really we have some limitations in doing our oversight work. We can meet whoever we want to meet within the department. Yes, I agree with the DG that certain procedures have to be followed. For instance, when we wanted to call the provincial manager, we indicated in a meeting in the DG's presence that we want to call the provincial manager, and he did not object to that. Instead, he asked us whether is he going to be allowed to attend that meeting or not. But we are surprised. It is as if now we are within the department. We are simply doing what we have been elected to do, serving the people of this country. We have to make sure that the department is run accordingly. I mean, we are tired of seeing these stories of Home Affairs every day on first page. Our duty is to make sure that this department is turned around. Secondly, Chairperson, there is a saying that hearsay evidence cannot be regarded as the evidence in chief. I'm having a serious problem when a senior member like DG of the department can really make an issue out of hearsay. I mean, anybody can say whatever he wants to say at any time about portfolio committee or about certain members of parliament. But to conclude that the portfolio committee members are colluding with the suspended officials is really malicious and dangerous. And I think the DG must withdraw and apologize to this committee. Thank you, Chairperson.
Come in. Let me deal with this issue of suspended officials. I'll give you. The issue was raised by the department in an open meeting of the portfolio committee. It was said that the officials are corrupt. In an open meeting of
entire meeting of the portfolio committee. Now, the portfolio committee, BG, unit operations, that's why we have a secretary here. The secretary will record everything that is inside the meeting. And that then forms part of the finish of the meeting. We have people, what you call the KP,
PMG.
It's an NGO that records the proceedings of the meeting. And those documents, they are public documents. If we say in the portfolio committee that so and so is corrupt, in whatever that that person does, in his defense, whatever that he wants, you still have access to that document. It's not the portfolio committee that said president is corrupt. The department that said that. Now, we record what you say, and that becomes a public document. Now, correctly, of course, Matevi says that sometimes you may not know this thing. You may not know this thing, but anything that you say in Parliament, except when we have asked for a closed meeting, but again, that closed meeting will take record of that closed meeting. In an open meeting, BG, how we say things, those things are binding there. And the person comes back and says, you said this to me in an open meeting. How do you then do that? So I think you need to take into account that anything that we say in these meetings are recorded, like what you have just said of your notes. But in our meeting are going to reflect now is the what's called a minute of the what's called the meeting. I thought I should sort of deal with that. There's no way that the committee will connive and collide with the suspended officials. Officials may have figure. If you say that the log of Parliament, it may be the minutes of the committee. These are open minutes. It's very important that you must take into account where to say things and how to say them. Public meetings are not, you may put yourself in a situation that you have to account tomorrow on the issue. But let me give up, but I can see that. And then I'll give you DG a sort of a response. With an intention of just trying to wrap up, you know, a clear way forward as to how they move forward on this. So
thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, Chairperson, maybe I would like to apologize to you because my meeting is at issue. But this meeting is very interesting. Unfortunately, the time is limited. But allow me to say the following thing. You see, DG, the things which you raised, like my concern, you said something about the attitude of the portfolio committee. See, I won't go deeper. And then also you spoke something about the manner the portfolio committee is conducting itself. I'll say something after that. And then you indicated that some of the things are affecting the department. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yes. You see, DG, you ought to be very careful about some of these occurrences. Why I'm saying that? Your own superiors in the house there, one time they said, our speech.
Yes. If I may, sorry, could I ask the speaker to address his comments to use the chairperson?
Okay.
Not very
okay, thank you.
That's the way.
Okay, fine. Somebody said, I was misled by my own officials. What is our responsibility then? It is our again, as we were doing our oversight visit in the border, we discovered that there are Makumakuma towards the Pope in Zimbabwe. Then Amakumakuma, I'm coming. Yes, there are gang sounds who's operating. I'm coming.
No, we're not sure what Makumakuma is.
Right. We also find out that there are ninja gangsters who are operating in the game. What is our response? Must we keep down? Must we hold our hands and keep quiet if there are such things? And then also, there were some disclaimers like Ubaba the Bati Ashu. And also, Chairperson, to remind you yourself also, don't forget that we had a meeting or a workshop with Zita in Kempton Park. And there was a range and list of things which we're supposed to attend, both of us, by
saying that, I think we are on the right track. Because some of the things came from the very same department. It's them who made some recommendations from us. That they recommend 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And when we implement those recommendations, now the churches, if we are having an attitude, and also the manner we behave as a portfolio committee, and that is my concern. Because some of these things, they don't come from the blue, but they come from somewhere. And then, in the last visit, I'll put an example with an incident which we found out from the here in the Cape Town airport, whereby some of the staff, the very same staff, they've raised the issue of morale and some of the problems, the frustrations and the what. What is our responsibilities? Because I think it's proper to, when we arrive in the second place, we must, the things one, we must make a follow-up to check whether the things have been implemented. Last example, when this the branch was launched about this the uniform and some of the things, we were there, we were invited. What is our responsibility as the portfolio committee? People must not forget that our term comes and goes. Leaders come and go. But the masses remain. They want the answers from us. Because a lot of these things were raised by the masses. Actually, today I didn't want to talk, but some of the things are triggering us by saying that if you are saying the portfolio committee is having an attitude that means something to us. Because we're just doing a follow up on some of the things which were raised by the very same people. Thank you, Chairperson.
What
was,
okay,
Chairperson, I thought my colleague would clarify this issue. Now realizing that maybe it's oversight on their part. It's a question, Chairperson, from the letter correspondence from the DG, which says, I quote, "This is despite repeated invitation by the minister and me to a workshop to discuss turnaround projects." I just want to put it here in the portfolio committee, Chairperson. We never ever have a letter from the DG or either from the minister. Is us as portfolio committee on our normal parliamentary procedure where we suggested a workshop to go and discuss issues of home affairs. I just want to clarify this issue.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I just maybe want to make a few general comments. Maybe it's good that we have this discussion this morning, although maybe, you know, washing dirty linen in public is not always good, but maybe this is the relationship between Parliament and the executive that's maybe part of democracy, and maybe if there's sometimes mistakes on some sides, or procedural problems, or whatever, that may be the cause of that interaction, and maybe we all can learn from that. And I may, maybe, going forward, I think that's an important thing, that we ensure that the stakeholder relationships is good. Maybe that's a lesson for the department, that we ensure that the portfolio committee is always on board, that special, that there is a special effort to ensure that the communication between them and the chair and the chairperson's office is on par. That's important. Furthermore, I think a lot of issues came onto the fore this morning, but I mean, the important thing is that we must be able to have a healthy and fruitful engagement, and that's where it's very important that the portfolio committee be able to engage with any level or any official if they want to, because that will ensure that Parliament plays its role. I think the Minister of Finance made it very clear in his budget speech and in other fora that the role of parliamentarians is really to engage the executive. They must make sure that the money is spent, that there is value for money, that there's oversight. The Minister of Finance even said that he feels that parliamentarians do not do enough. He also said, I think, in the business report of the Sunday Times a week or so ago, I mean, that parliamentarians maybe not, they must not earn their salaries. So I think, philosophically, from our side, the need is to ensure that there's engagement, that there's questions, and sometimes it may be messy. Sometimes arrangements will not be so nice. Maybe the logistics will be not correct or whatever, according to procedure or whatever. But the important thing is that there is interaction, there is engagement, and there is a response and interaction. Because
because at the end of the day, we're in the service of the public. We went to Weinberg last week. I spoke to one young official there, and she was really not motivated. She said she wants to leave the department. And we said, well, things are changing around. We're positive about the department. We believe that new leadership will do it. She must just wait. So I think from the portfolio committee side as well, we're positive about the department. We want change. We want to make sure that the mistakes of the past are not repeated. So I think, Chair, going ahead, going forward, it's important that, I mean, some things we said this morning and maybe they should be followed up, but I think it's important that we look forward, we look at the major issues and that's of oversight and accountability and ensure that the department gets a clean bill of health.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, in all of this discussion this morning, I believe we're missing one important point, and that is that we are responsible for the oversight and the working with the leadership of a department that is largely in a chaotic situation. Many people call it dysfunctional in many respects. And Chairperson, that is something that's completely out of this discussion this morning. We're in fact, with respect, acting like a committee that is largely dysfunctional itself, and our job is here to serve the taxpayers of South Africa and make sure that they get service from the Department of Home Affairs. Now, some very valid points may or may not have been made this morning, but from my perspective, all I see is a power play, for whatever reason, about things that have got absolutely nothing to do with this committee. With respect, we talk of oversight responsibility. With respect, we talk about the need or the power that we have as a committee to summon officials, including the DG. Absolutely correct. But I ask myself, as a Member of Parliament for the last 7 years, I've served on SCOPA, I've served on the Labour Committee, Portfolio Committee, Trade and Industry. With respect, we have a Director General who's been in this position for 9 months. To my perspective, he has never wavered from telling it absolutely as he saw. He's been frank and open. In my personal experience, when I've approached him or the department for any information, it has been immediately forthcoming. Now, there may or may not be problems on that side too. I'm not saying he's absolutely correct on everything. I've often said to him directly, Chairperson, if there's any situation where I believe that criticism is valid, he knows he will get it directly from the DA. I'm not a member of the ANC, sir, but I was also brought up in a disciplined manner. There's a way of doing things and holding members to account. But I've yet to see a Director General, in my experience, who's been as open and forthcoming with the department as he has been with this department. Chairperson, he has been there for 9 months. Where was this committee in the last 8 or 9 or 10 years when the same dysfunctional department was doing the same dysfunctional things? It's great to hear now we have this responsibility for oversight and accountability, and I say amen to that. The DA will have your full support in making sure that happens. But it seems somewhat ironical and almost twisted that for the last 7, 8, 9 years, when the same department needed that same input and oversight and whatever, where was the respect with the ANC then? Is this a post-Polokwane power play? Is this about Chairperson, you've had politics all morning. Why can't I not bring in politics? You've been talking politics all morning.
No. Don't bring politics all morning.
Chairperson.
No. You know what I will not allow it.
Well, Chairperson, you're having politics in the ANC right here this morning.
No, please. Chairperson. Don't deal with what one of the new members who supposed either to accuse yourself with what the work has been done by the committee. So I think it would be important for you to go to those records and look at what the committee has been doing all of this when you're not a member of the committee. So, hey, since I want you to put yourself to your point as a member of the committee.
Chairperson, I'll make one final comment in. My job, and that is my colleague from the Democratic Alliance, is to serve this committee in the best way possible, serve the Department of Home Affairs and the people of South Africa. That is what I intend to do. Now, if there are other issues at stake, I believe we need to put them on the table. I think the Honourable Beekman is quite right. It's sometimes necessary to have frank discussions. Sometimes it perhaps might be better to have a closed meeting to get them on the table. But I am not aware, and I've done a lot of it, you know, in investigating myself, I'm not aware of any situation or reason why this ugly situation should have come about today where it's not necessary. And I would ask that we as a committee get on with the job now of holding the DG to account, necessarily holding the department to account, but just with respect, work through the DG respectfully. I believe we owe him at least that respect and the opportunity to come before this committee and answer our questions. And I believe together we can actually do that, Chairperson. But if we continue like this, the department will suffer, the taxpayers won't get their servicing, and we'll be here in a month's time or 2 months' time arguing about things that, quite frankly, as I say, as you say, Jefferson, as a member of the opposition, maybe I know nothing about you, right? I wasn't at Polokwane. But there is politics at play here, and we need to get the bottom of that, Jefferson. Thank you very much.
An impression that I wrote. No, no, I said, don't, I'm talking as a chairperson. No, 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 I'm saying that don't create something that is not there for your own political gain. Please, we're dealing with accountability here, which is our responsibility. No, no, we said, no, 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 please, can you just withdraw? We're dealing with accountability. And when you begin to behave in a manner that begins to suggest other things rather than addressing what Honorable Jokman has said, don't play politics. You play politics, you do not want to be nice. You play politics with you and this whole committee will adjust to something else. So on that note, I take into account the points that you've raised on how we should focus our energy to give to us and working relationship between ourselves, department for the betterment of the future of South Africa. No, you're in opposition. I know you're playing politics now. Don't start that game. Don't start it. No. Please. Can you not do that? I'm not going to. You respect the chair? No, I'm saying that. No. But I'm saying that you respect the chair. You respect the chair. You don't. No. Don't. So I ask you, you will be given an opportunity. When you are given an opportunity, you will speak, and when you are done, thank you very much, you take the notes and issues that you have. Don't speak as you want the opportunity.
Let me give them comments,
and then from there what we'll do is that we'll work on wrapping up this whole thing. At the end of the day, we need to sort of agree as to what is the way forward.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to maybe remind Honorable Law that in our last meeting, he's the one who actually proposed that we should call in the DG to come and to the committee. No, I just wanted to remind you about that.
No. I would not want to ask you to leave the meeting. This is what you are saying. I know that you're saying that. I know that you're trying to do that. I know that you're trying to do that. So when you... No. The member is saying exactly this, supporting what we have said in the previous meeting. Now, when you have to engage with issues, you play your politics now. If you want to leave the meeting, you can leave. No. It's your position. You can leave. Thank you. No, you can leave. Carry on. We have a responsibility.
All right. You see you.
But also to remind ourselves that the committee. I was saying that to remind ourselves that this department has been under the leadership of the ANC for only 4 years. We now have a DG, and we have the trust that. We are going to deliver what we are supposed to do. I hear what the comrades have said, and I actually support some of the issues that are raised by the members of this committee. And also to say that we are a committee of parliament, and we have the powers vested in us by the constitution and also the rules of parliament to do our oversight work. Yes, it's true that we are empowered to subpoena any person that we want to appear before the committee, but it's not our intention to work that way. We just want to appeal to the department through you, Chairperson, that we start, you know, harnessing our working together with the department. Ours is to better the lives of our people and not to be coming here to come and, you know, raising issues that are not, that are maybe petty or that we should have been dealt with long ago. I think we were supposed to have dealt with these issues, I'm sure last day, if I remember well. But the issues persist, you know, to surface on the... I just want to appeal that we start to work together with the department and to respect one another. If we do our oversight work, we are going to do our oversight work, and we will do unannounced visits, DG. It's our job to do that. The issue of going to the DRC, you know, it was raised last time, and I just, I don't understand, Chairperson, whether when we have such visits, must we first start with the department, or we are supposed to do what we are supposed to do as a portfolio committee, because I thought we were going to the DRC to interact with our counterparts there with regard to the movement of people we discussed in our meeting. That's all I wanted to say to you, that if we could please turn on a new page now that we have a DG and start working to work together as a team to ensure that things change, like we're having the turnaround strategy team in the department. Let us work together, DG, and change the department and work together.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll give the
I just came in on my colleagues a couple of things. Sorry. I just came in at the closing sentences of my colleague here, and I just totally support, and I think we as a party support her proposal.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sitting here listening to this discussion. I feel that there should be some mediation between you and the DG. That your job description should be agreeable. That you should explain what you are expecting of the committee, and that the DG should also be explaining to you what he expects of the committee. And I think in this way we probably will be able to go forward. So I would really suggest that some agreement is necessary between the two of you. Thank you.
Why can't we do that in the workshop, that we engage the department and look at how we're going to be doing the oversight, but not running away from
the... Are we going to invite the DG to our workshop?
We'll be part of the workshop. Thanks very much. So it's a valid point of view. Thanks, because I'm not going to put it down.
Chairperson, I had a lot of belief that in the last meeting I was busy insisting that we should call the DG. My insistence was centered on the reason that I wanted to hear why the DG is doing this, is doing that. So, because today I can't blame myself to have seen and thought that way, because I listened to what he was saying, and all what he was saying, all what I discovered is that there has been a pile of grievances piling up, to this point of explosion. Now, my only worry is that I expected the members of the committee to deal with the issues of conflict. But I was disappointed because we just went haywire and started not dealing with the real issues that cause this friction. So I don't want to go into certain issues because there are things which have been said here which I could completely and totally dispute because I was present in those meetings. But because I don't want to get into that, I want a way forward. I was just saying to myself, why don't I even thought of having a mini committee to deal with these misunderstandings? Because if you listen to the cause, the grievances, and we're closing the meeting, we have not dealt with that. We start saying, talking about our powers. When I was listening to the DG, he accepts and agrees that that is not disputed. But we rely too much on those things instead of the point of friction that has accumulated over the time. So I was just thinking in the lines of where should you sit and iron out these things, because if you call us, we have a problem because we will always raise irrelevant and haywire things which are not the basic reasons as to why the DG behaved and wrote those letters. If we had dealt with that, I would have been very happy. So, Chair, I'm asking you, are you in a position to establish the platform where you could, in a mini form, where you could sit down with the DG and sort out this situation? Thank you.
But the other issues that the CGV has arranged, let's move forward. I think after the forum, we will cover which areas that we have, the issues that we have to use from the country. That's the issue.
No one's challenging.
Yeah, I'm saying that's the issue that we have to use. That's why I do not want to get involved in other issues. What I'm speaking on is oversight and accountability. That's all that we have to do. Because if we understand that one, all these issues will be looking at away. You're not going to have that, because those issues, they can't be made because of that understanding. There's no understanding of what is the role of Parliament and the community of Parliament, then it's the role of politics. And then begin to behave like, then work out of the meeting and all of that. But I think they will isolate all of these other positions and look at them if they will work on the main issue dealing with is the country. Thank you for your first question. But let me give you the fee and then you the last speaker and we close the matter and then we can just talk before the
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, was after the deliberation of members on the matter. I think it's very clear that we, as a portfolio committee and this department, has many challenges. And you see, there has been this thing of turnaround. And then when Billy, who comes with the turnaround? When Barry came up with the issue of turnaround, surely he could see exactly that there are serious problems. Something must be done. But the unfortunate part of it, each and every business which is supposed to be done, both by the minister and the department together with the portfolio committee, is never completed. Everything is being left hanging. Now the new approach wants to come in. And after a period of about 9 months and so on, the DG says, this is what I want to do, because of, for us to turn around this department is how we should operate, because of seemingly there has been a lot of vacancy around, because of even the management itself was not completed. If we are going to leave this thing to be managed one way or the other, at another level, at provincial level, seemingly it is where now we need to tighten up some screw, so to take a total responsibility. Now, we might say also that we had so many DGs in this DG department, I think over six of them. I think you are just seven DG or the sixth, I don't know. But I think it's somewhere there. But after that, I think surely it must be clear to us, because of most of these other things which were done in this department, they were not up to scratch. And then they were not clear. And then we need to clear this thing. So I think the chairperson, together with the portfolio committee, we need to give ourselves enough chance to observe and ensure that we do exactly what is required from us. As the constitution, I don't want to repeat what my colleague has said, as an oversight work, and then where we don't meet one another, we need to find a way of putting synergy in that so as we can cross a bridge. Definitely, we don't need a permission from the department to go and make a visit to any other country, whether being overseas or in Africa and so on, but there has been more emphasis to say the Department of Home Affairs together with Public Service have done a very good job in the DRC pertaining the election. And then the election is also part of our responsibility under IEC. And then even the chairperson of the IEC, we have said to her, you have gone to the DRC, you have done a very good job, so we would also like to go to the DRC and see what is it that you have done under this very same entity of the IEC. I think there's nothing wrong there. And there's nothing that we are going to say pertaining administration and so on and so on. It was purely going to congratulate and say, IEC of South Africa, you have done a good job. Let's continue with the very good job that you have been doing. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think a lot has been said. I'm just touched by the way things are. It's like now, it is the Chairperson versus the DG, not the portfolio committee. Because if the Chairperson is singled out from the committee, then I think this committee is useless to be there. I just want to stress about monitoring. Our duty is to monitor. And you cannot monitor a person when you tell that person that I'm coming, because he will clean your corners. If you don't clean your house, when you know that I'm coming, you will definitely clean your house, so that when I come, I say, no, that person's house is clean. But if I arrive unaware, then I will see all the mistakes. People are getting married not knowing each other. There are reverences in home affairs who do not know who is coming, who is here, and they promise to get people married and give them citizenship of South Africa. That's the other thing. And because this committee is there, it goes around, we can see all those loopholes that are there. The other thing is,
when we are not supposed to go uninvited, I think the department as well should not come to us when they are short of money. Because we are the ones who stand in parliament there and speak and tell people that we need so much so that this department can function. That's what I just wanted to say. Thank you, gentlemen.
I think we have allowed all the members to keep their mind and some of them have left the meeting, but once now to give you this opportunity to maybe respond on the issue, but again, be able to assist. I'm looking at the copy of the program of the community in all of our lives. And I look at the 11th and 15th of the session. And part of the workshop, he said that each one of us is needed to make a proper question. So I think then, just moving forward, let's look at how I think we can move on. That workshop will involve, you know, some of the issues that we believe that need to be in your time. That we need to be in your time. And that we have, and then you can then respond, and then you can then
Chair, I thank you very much. And I also thank all the members for the contributions they made. It's very clear that members, I think everybody is anxious for all of us to succeed. And so I thank you for that. I completely disagree with some of the views that have been stated. And I don't want to continue in any way that doesn't promote the unity that has been brought forward. But I owe it to everybody to explain a few things. Just by way of letting you understand how stressful this thing has been. You know, everybody knows how hard work at Home Affairs is. You are told every day how people marry wrong people, which is true. We see corruption taking place, takes a plan to eliminate it. We see very poor service delivery. It requires to be addressed and so on. But with all of that, over the past few months, the most depressing time for me was when I had to appear before the committee. Not because I'm afraid of the grilling. Gosh, there are worse things that happen outside there. But just a lack of finding each other with the committee. Not understanding how I believe oversight, which is a constitutionally given authority, high authority, and please accept it. Accept our explanation. We recognize this and accept your authority over this. If I had to go to Parliament, I would join a committee and want to exercise the kind of authority that you have in a particular way, in a manner that reinforces what other people are doing. Aunt Matilda's comment is very interesting in this regard. I think we must move away from the time of discovery, Upaka, Umundi, and so on. You know, you will, for the next 5-10 years, always find something wrong at Home Affairs. I bet you that. It is a very huge organization. And when we invite you to sit with us and plan how we change it, and I know this turnaround, somebody was saying we don't know even what we're facing. These are some of the comments, by the way, that don't help anything at all. But yes, we must attempt. I wish we had a better name than turnaround. We must attempt to change what is going on now with everybody's help. A lot of the time we end up, you know, we have built up a good rapport explaining to the public what we're trying to do. It all just gets squished as soon as we come to discuss here. I don't know. The penchant for the dramatic is what fails us. You know, it's not easy. And we will never, no one sitting around here can turn this institution around in 1 year, in 2 years. Perhaps it's going to take people 3 years, long before I've come and gone. So to be told that there is, the files are lying on the floor, you are dealing with people who have been in this situation for all the time, whose minds are set. How do I change that? We need the time that is required to change those opinions. With a strong labor relations regime in this country, and it's good. I think it's good for a democratic constitution to protect workers' lives, but that defines the pace with which you can do certain things. So, yes, people can bombard me with how squalid things are and how the lines are too long, etc. It worries us every day. That is what we are about too. So I wanted to thank you for expressing these common sentiments, but I do want to point out a few things too. Number one is, the oversight role of the committee is respected and fully understood. We do not expect you to ask us for permission to come and do oversight. No, we do not. There is a manner, though, in which oversight may be carried out. It's not for me to prescribe. But you would get as much. You could give me 5 weeks' notice that you are coming. You would still find the wrong things because they are inherent, they are endemic in the system. It's not anything that I can run and fix because the solo committee is coming. It takes the kind of things that we're doing in the turnaround program to reduce times, to reduce opportunities for theft when we're producing IDs, etc., etc. Not a sexy thing at all, but something that takes time and takes changing people to get it going. So please, do understand, we are not asking you. We're not suggesting that you ask for permission before you can visit any place at all. We never did, we aren't now, so on. If you choose to pay surprise visits, that's fine. That's how you think it works best. I don't necessarily think it does. It's your choice. We still don't have a program for 2008. I noticed that it has come out. So please, I would be grateful if we were given that. I know it will change, but we would hope to be given things change and things must be postponed, but we don't have it now. So when I say we don't have a problem, I mean it. I agree with the chair. The presentation that I made on the annual report was not acceptable to the committee. What we requested was that take a look at the report and ask us questions. The committee thought it would not be suitable to do that, and it asked us to go away. You have your... I was told that these things are reported, are recorded. Go and listen to the record. You will find that at no time did we request to go away. But once that decision was made, we accepted it, just to set the record straight. So the Germany DRC records, I mean the DRC, it's just that when you go to see a place, it helps you to have as much information as you can from those who are charged with the responsibility. It's not this power thing, you know, we're talking power here all the time. It's not power, we do not have power, I do not wish to have any more power than I have now. And in my management exercise, which you can test because it's your right as an oversight group to check how I manage, you will find that one tries to cultivate respect rather than fear. I don't want to fear, neither will I fear anybody, by the way, anyway. But I do respect people around here. I don't fear anybody. One big issue of me being a politician or administration, it's unfortunate, that's not right. If I wanted to be in politics, I would be there, and I suspect I would be making a sterling contribution. I do not intend to do it now. I haven't intended to do so in the past 15 years. I chose to go this route. The issue of suspended people is serious, Chair, extremely serious. I was taking the chair's advice when he said some of the documents are public and so on. But when I hear it said that after people left, in the procurement, the same kind of thing happened. You know, this is the argument that's being raised by one of the people who are choosing. That didn't come from here. This is dangerous. We have somebody arguing that we're charging them with corruption, and we have instituted the same thing. And this is repeated here. I am worried about that. That nexus has to be broken in the interest of the integrity of this committee. No, I don't want to be a politician, but I'm a South African as any. And I respectfully would like to be allowed to express my views without people being feeling challenged. No, I respect all of you. I'll do whatever needs to be done. I really mean it, but I should be allowed to express my views. And people shouldn't be angry because I that's what people do who report to me, by the way, also. So when my superiors also listen to this, they must understand it's not out of disrespect. So I think there is many things. Chair, how do we go forward? The chair asked a question about that Minexco. It is a resolution, I think, that was born of frustration. Because we've seen people come here and end up, as the reports would come out in the media, looking extremely miserable. And this is where we go wrong. I think one must master some level of experience to answer questions that are asked honestly, but which, if you don't answer them carefully, you would end up with a completely wrong headline. I do fear that when people answer who are not experienced, and we do not have the total picture, the center has or should have the total picture. You could ask about anything. But yes, we are, you have the right to visit, please, and see. To site visits anyway, Mpumalanga. It's wall to wall. It's your terrain. I would like to say I don't think in the room there is a greater advocate than for devolution than myself. I'm as strong on it as anybody else. And those who work with me understand that. You must create the capacity, though. If you transfer a responsibility and accountability to somebody, make sure that they have capacity to carry out what you give them to do. Let me not respond. Chair, thank you very much. Now, if the chair gives me the rope, I am so willing to comply with what the committee wants us to do. I would like the way forward to be much clearer than it has been now. I said what I said in those letters, perhaps a little too frankly, in a manner that offends, because I really do believe that you would never get the answers to the questions that you ask better than you would from a position that is centralized, because that's how our information is gathered today. But I don't know. I don't have the last word on those things, but there is a certain point of view that I hold on this. Chair, I'll be guided by you on the way forward. I will report to the minister on the issues that were discussed in that management executive committee, ministers and executive committee. But I just want to end up by saying I do respect everybody around here. I'm sad that people feel personally slightly challenged by some of the things I said. Respectfully, I thank you, Chair.
All right, now, thank you very much. The program has been circulating since the beginning of the year. We said that on the 11th, the 13th, that was short. Part of what we'll deal with is the program for the remaining quarter. Meaning that it's already there, but we'll have to relook at it. Meaning Parliament normally changes the program for your information. And when Parliament changes the program, it impacts on the committees of Parliament. So therefore, sometimes we find changes. That comes in not because the committee is disorganized, but because Parliament program does change and it does affect committees and corporations. We will be preparing for the budget hearing, meaning that we have to receive a strategic plan. If you look at the current program, that is on the 13th of May. They're in the program. The program was made available since from the beginning of this year. This program has been circulating in this portfolio committee meeting many times. But it's fine. We'll do a formal hello about the program to assess, meaning that you have to write to the DG and present the committee program, which,
with due respect, the chair is not contributing to. It's unfair, chair, that you should be sarcastic when we honestly say we don't have a program.
It's unfortunate that this program is being submitted. But nevertheless, it's fine. We'll make a copy available for you for that one for the program of the committee. Now, let me close on the issue of the oversight. Is that even if this program and the problems that the Home Affairs face with may take 5 years to... Yes, boss.
Before we got started this program,
I think it would be better for us to clarify this issue of provincial managers as to whether are they going to be allowed to come or not. To clarify the role of the portfolio committee in this oversight, I think I'll deal with it as well. Now, in between the department dealing with the big challenge that the department is facing, the portfolio committee will keep on doing what it's supposed to do. Because all those issues are informed by your plan. And those plans, I believe, the time frame. But other than that, the committee has that responsibility of making sure that the things are done and are done correctly and services being provided to the people. I just want to give you one example, DG, of some of the problems that the committee always picks up. Last week on Wednesday, we visited Barrack Street, three members of parliament. In our visit to Barrack Street, the first office that went to was the marriage office at Barrack Street, just next to Parliament. We spent about 5 minutes in the office. I thought it's important to share this experience and to look at what is it that the committee is doing for you to understand the oversight and how we sort of cooperate and work with Home Affairs. After spending 5 minutes, was myself, Kosi Moramu, and the making my own. When we left the office, when we came outside that office, we were met by a gentleman called Reverend somebody from the town. His approach was, what are you doing here at Home Affairs? So we're well dressed, the ties, some ideas, as we call them, mimic. Are you coming to get married? And the answer that we gave was yes. And then he says, what's the problem? We said, this person does not have documents, delayed. No, I'm going to help you. He immediately opened his file. The marriage officer qualified to marry people from Home Affairs. I'll organize passport for you. I'll get ID book, anything that you want. The man has been sort of, we give him the details and all of that to arrange this marriage. We immediately communicated with the provincial counter-corruption office in the province. And that is where we're going to change. The person will be arrested. The person will be arrested. I'm trying to demonstrate the work that the portfolio committee is doing. Somebody just makes a simple rumor that Nyanga office, there's no water in that office for the past week or so. The
something that we do called the DG. Are you aware that there's no water at the end? The DG does this investigation, it comes by chair, there's nothing there, I think it's a rumor. The person that called me was a journalist, I showed you. The journalist called me that there's no water in the night. It demonstrates our commitment and working relationship with your level. No point that we sit back and say, let them face the music. Don't do that. If people are very honest, it's something to say, yes, we have good relationships. The number of things that I can cite. The problem is about these provincial managers who are paid for the community. That's where the problem is. Now that we have clarified an understanding of this oversight that we do as a committee, and the DG understands it fully, I think it's important to note that looking at the program of the committee, we want to insist to have this meeting. Not to insist, but we want to invite them to appear before the committee before we do your budget hearing. In your budget hearing, you'll be taking us through the strategic plan. And as I said that for years, this helps the portfolio committee. Because of the capacity, you know, we're supposed to be going to all of these provinces of ECO. Look at the time that we have. We don't have much time. Meaning that we'll depend on whatever information that we have. But as part of our oversight, we'll have to have this meeting. It must take this meeting. To give us a chance to engage with them. And Kosi said, these are not just ordinary managers that should be. They have powers to appoint higher and higher people at the level in which they are. The powers that they devoted to them and they, whatever. So that meeting is going to take place with you. We will look at the program on the 13th. When I look at the current program as it stands, the meeting of the 6th was going to be public, I mean the public hearing on refugee amendments. Because in our mind we're informed that there's going to be this amendment that is going to come. So we've already planned ahead that the Refugee Act is going to be amended and all of that. So we have planned ahead already in the program. So we have an open day there because there's no bill that is coming now for this year. There's no bill that is coming. Sometimes in June, as reported by the minister, we'll have the bill. So there's no bill that is coming, meaning that that refugee thing would have to follow it. Because we informed that we're going to see this amendment on the immigration, on the one for the refugee amendment. So what we'll then have to do is that we will communicate in time to invite these officials to appear before the committee and present the report as we have stated them. Out of that meeting, then, DG, we'll then have a meeting with your health to deal with your strategic plan, which is your budget hearing. Meaning that you'll have to go back and say, with the allocation given to me by Parliament, meaning this portfolio in the Parliament, for this financial year 2008-2009, this is what I'm going to do. Problems of former president take 5 years, but this is what I'm going to do for this financial year. That plan, we need that plan. That strategic plan. So previous. Now, the issues that were raised in the strategic plan, if you look at the strategic plan, the last financial year, 2006-2007, very few of them were met. Very few. Do have a consensus on this plan. And that helps you to prepare your annual report presentation. So the strategic plan at the end of the financial year in 2009. You then come and say, these are things that I have achieved based on the plan that we have put to the committee. In between that, there will be changes that maybe you may want. Some of them are minor. Some of them moving of funds, sometimes we have to come to Treasury or sometimes come to Parliament and ask for moving of certain funds to meet certain programs. Just to move forward to deal with the challenge that you are facing.
So therefore, the support from the committee is there and will always be there. But accountability and oversight, that's what comes to the committee. At any given time, but properly, and the committee must do its oversight work. I think to confess in front of the meeting, there's nothing personal between myself and the DG. There's nothing. We talk to the DG. I raise issues with him. When there's any problem, one person doesn't call anything. There's nothing wrong. They are not sentient. Nothing. The only thing is this issue of a meeting that sits and decided that these officials must not go there. I think that was the wrong thing. That is the wrong thing that has happened. And then my proposal is that they either go back or either the committee can write a formal letter to inform our minister, who is very accessible to us, on the issues of how we felt about that decision that they've taken, to say that it was a wrong decision to limit the Mosholo committee to its oversight work. Other things that were raised and all of that are just the way in which the Mosholo committee should do its work and make sure that the department is accountable. We are going to do that. That's our responsibility. And we're not going to shy away from calling yourself or any official or anybody. Members of the media, obviously, they write what they think. We don't control them with what they call freedom of the press. We've dealt with it when we read the for the Freedom and Constitutional Amendment, where they talk about their freedom. And clearly, we said we're not going to tamper with that freedom. But I would believe that is the objective in reporting about the proceedings and how they see things. For us to be able to build a better country and a better South Africa. So on that note, the committee will still continue with its meeting, which will then communicate with you that the officials have to appear before the committee on the first day that we watch from. The second thing will be the preparation for next week's workshop, which will now start to prepare the agenda for that workshop. And then we'll have a few members of the committee to look at areas that we want to do, so that members can then contribute in the workshop. In fact, we'll invite the department, because this is our workshop. We'll invite the department to that workshop. But we'll make it very clear to the department what is it that we expect them to come and participate in that workshop. So that it's not just an open workshop, but it's very clear, because we are very, very organized ourselves, very well organized. So we're going to do that. We'll send you the invitation to the workshop. Part of the workshop that I think we'll look at will be again to look at how do we sort of deal with the issues of communication than oversight. Oversight is that one, structure in a particular way, because oversight is the problem, therefore, you need to have this particular way of oversight. We are going to continue, we'll pick up those problems. At the harbor, last week we decided, when we went to that office, that they wanted to go to the harbor. We're going to find the same problem, but we're going to go there. And we're going to find managers sleeping again. Because if we don't do that, yourself at your level, will not be able to cover the whole country and understand the level of it. Use the portfolio committee, in fact, as another means of getting, a information and then and use it, in fact, as a committee that will help you, in fact, to shape some of the things that you're trying to shape. Rather than if you put it aside, the department on its own, it will not achieve this. Together, we'll have to work together, as you have demonstrated on what I've said, how I communicate on behalf of this committee. And everything that I do, I don't do it as a personal childcare thing at the corner. I do it informed by the decisions of the committee, from different parties that are still here, even if the Honorable Law and Justice, because of this view, you'll be back. Next week, he's back again. You hardly expect him to serve in the committee, not to run away. But you'll be back again next week, and then, we will be able to do our oversight work and and deliver the savings that is expected. Long overdue. And all of us are aware that it's long overdue. So by now, we have had the Home Affairs that is giving, you know, discharging its duties and services to the citizens. And because you say that, world-class savings, it's called another thing, world-class savings. We are not going to have this problem that you see at the centers, which really matters ourselves and the country, that the people still come and they can't get things in Home Affairs. And my problem is the poor African people who don't have even a chance to survive in. The only thing they need is just a document for them to be able to move from one point to another. And Home Affairs is not meeting that challenge. The international obligation, international law states what we must do, and we are not meeting that obligation. And these are things that must go on our desk and we must do. So on that note, members, the copy of the annual report has been made available again. That's the annual report of the portfolio committee of the work that the committee was doing last year. We're not going to adopt it today because for the first time that members did. What we'll do is that we'll allow members to go back to their study groups. Inca, I know that you are alone now, you and your study group. And then you go through this report and then make your additions, corrections in the next portfolio committee meeting. That will be a program. That will be on the 6th, not on the 7th, based on the parliamentary program. It means that we'll have to adopt this report. And there are a number of meetings, what's called minutes. The number of minutes, Inga, the number of minutes that the committee still have to adopt, meaning that that day we'll have to have a slot where we'll then adopt all our minutes, so that when we adopt the report, we adopt the report to all the minutes of that year. So it will make us a more organized, as I know, very well organized members of the committee. So on that note, members, what we'll then do is that then, The other issue that JD has just made me aware of is that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There are 8 issues that were raised in the State of the Nation address. And those issues that were raised, and you were saying that part of it will be to deal with those issues in the workshop. But those issues are issues that we are going to call the department to account for as part of our oversight work. The president announced the IG, the IT turnaround. All those things are part of our oversight work that we must do. The president calls for the IT campaign. Every child who's 15 years old has an IT. We're going to call the department to give us maybe not a specific plan to be able to tell us how we're going to roll out the ID campaign and all of those other issues. So this is some of the issues. Didi, I saw that you raised your hand. I'll give you an opportunity to speak. You can speak now.
Thank you. Just a clarification. Regarding the annual report adoption by the committee is should have been done on the 26th. What is the status?
Because of the postponed meeting, because we ended up postponing this meeting today for the annual report is going to come when we rework the program. Because the 2 weeks that we supposed to have done that, part of the plan of the committee was to engage with the provincial managers when we finish with them. Then not only the annual report of Home Affairs, we have DPW, which we still have to adopt that report. And there's a, what's called? The report of the Philippine publication is a problem that needs to be corrected, meaning that we cannot adopt that report before May for them to to accept that there was a mistake in the treaty. So we will have to allocate within the second quarter this year the days that they will then adopt. You cannot go into your budget hearing before we adopt your annual report. So that one will not in fact need the control of what for the department to appear before it, because already the department has made this presentation. It's for the committee to take all of those reports and one by one call for the adoption and adopt those reports. So it's not a problem much. But we'll have going to do that before we go to the annual report for the budget here of the next financial year. So on that note then, the meeting will then be adjourned here, meaning that lunch is arranged right at the corner today again, and everybody is invited, myself, the department, members of the media, we are invited for lunch. Please write good about it. The lunch time will be at 1 o'clock. Thank you very much.
It's ready.
We can just move on to lunch time already.
I know.